Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's Mirsky & Company podcast, bringing you in-depth analysis on trending legal issues in media, new media, intellectual property, and privacy. I am Andy Mirsky, principal of Mirsky & Company, a Washington, D.C. law firm with a practice in new media, intellectual property, technology, and nonprofits. Today, we'll be talking in our very first of these podcasts about the Federal Trade Commission's recently issued privacy proposals, and I'm joined by Karen Newman, a founding partner of St. Ledger Rohde Newman & Olson, LLP, also a Washington, D.C. law firm with a focus on regulation of information technologies and communications law, including in particular privacy and data security, mobile communications, the Internet, media, telecommunications, and related transactional matters. Hello, Karen, and thank you for joining me today to discuss the FTC's latest privacy initiatives.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I just want, before I ask you a couple of questions, I just want to give some quick background on what's on the plate here today. At the core of the FTC's new privacy proposal is the idea that the current system of self-regulation simply, and this is from the FTC's perspective, does not provide enough consumer protection. Basically, from the FTC's perspective, people do not pay enough attention, and this is very summary, but people do not pay enough attention to the data collecting activities of websites, and not enough companies are upfront about the data they do collect from visitors to their sites. The FTC says and has said that while many companies detail their data collection policies through privacy policies, consumers bear, again, from the FTC's perspective, too much of a burden in having to sort through such long, often very legalistic documents. And one of the thrusting initiatives of the proposal is more transparency and simplification of those policies. We'll touch on that in a minute. And just moving right along, I will quote very briefly from the FTC's executive summary that accompanied its proposals, dealing with the three prongs of its proposal. Specifically, and this is from the FTC, the notice and choice model as implemented has led, and this is the notice and choice model, which is the current kind of framework in the United States, as implemented, has led to long, incomprehensible privacy policies that consumers typically do not read, let alone understand. Likewise, the harm-based model has been criticized for failing to recognize a wider range of privacy-related concerns, including reputational harm or the fear of being monitored. In addition, both models have struggled to keep pace. That's the harm-based model and the notice and choice model. Both models have struggled to keep pace with the rapid growth of technologies and business models that enable companies to collect and use consumer information in ways that often are invisible to consumers. Meanwhile, industry efforts to address privacy through self-regulation have been too slow and up to now have failed to provide adequate and meaningful protection. That is from the executive summary of the FTC. So among other proposals, the Commission's new framework would require a do-not-track option, much like the one you currently see in this country for telemarketers on telephone calls. Do not track would essentially prevent companies from tracking things like your browsing history and buying habits, making it much more difficult for them to target consumers with personalized ads. Although, as Karen will point out, there's it's a lot less concrete and black and white than that right now. The proposal also aims to have companies incorporate more consumer protection into their business practices through simpler, more transparent options and by allowing consumers more access to the data being collected about them. The proposed rule came out just last week, actually 2 weeks ago, I think, and the FTC has requested, by the end of January 2011, next month, public comment from both businesses and the public. So with that background, very long background, I want to ask Karen a few questions. Karen, can you briefly summarize the just quoted the notice and choice and the harm-based models, and am I right in understanding that these are the current states of FTC and, for practical purposes, U.S. privacy laws as related to data?
Sure, I'd be happy to do so. Yes, you are correct. The United States, really the linchpin of privacy protection is based on this fair information principles concept, or fair information practices concept, which incorporates notice and choice, to some extent less the harm-based model. Notice and choice simply involves the concept that companies will provide consumers clear, transparent, easily accessible notice of their data collection practices, which include what they're collecting, how they intend to use it, including sharing it with third parties for advertising or other purposes, and how long they'll retain the information for. The harm-based model that you referred to really has to do with a concern by the agency about what happens to the data once it's collected. That is, do companies have adequate measures in place for securing the information, protecting their networks from unauthorized access? Are companies failing to develop adequate security plans or properly dispose of customer data once it's no longer needed? The agency's brought a lot of enforcement actions, very high-profile enforcement actions against companies who have failed to protect their customers from reputational, business, or other harms tied to the data that they collect.
Now, wasn't the one of the commission's concerns the fact that the harm-based model kind of had the weakness of not really recognizing and valuing for enforcement purposes those kinds of damages they described, the reputational type of damages, non-easily quantifiable damages?
Yes, certainly in public comments immediately after the report's release and in testimony on Capitol Hill the day after the report was released, the agency clearly indicated that it felt that this harm-based approach really lags behind the rapid pace of technology tools available for collecting and retaining information, and there is definitely some concern that the current harm-based approach toward consumer protection hasn't kept up with developments in technology.
In reaction to the notice and choice, these concerns about notice and choice and harm-based models, there is this concept that's been put out there by the FTC and academics before the FTC about called privacy by design. And how is that a component of what the commission is proposing?
Sure. Privacy by design is a concept that's been evolving and the focus of privacy efforts over the last several years. And essentially what this means is the notion of what people in the industry and regulators refer to as baking privacy into information collection and data security practices. And some examples of some of the practices that would make up privacy by design include collecting only that information that's necessary for a legitimate business purpose and using it or retaining it for no longer than is necessary to accomplish that purpose. And then, of course, ensuring the accuracy of the data. And you see this in various regulatory frameworks. A really good example is the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act.
Right.
Shall we say, bakes these elements into its regulatory framework. It requires parents to have access to the information that's being collected about their children so they can correct it or request that it be deleted. And this is a similar concept. So privacy by design would incorporate the three elements I just mentioned in a way that gives consumers some control over the information that's being collected about them and some assurance that it's not a fishing expedition or will be retained essentially in perpetuity.
I want to move on in the interest of time, but there are two other sort of major elements of the proposal. One is, and I'm going to sort of skip around in terms of how the commission proposed it. It's talking about privacy policies. The commission recognizes, and you recognize through your practice, as I do, that most companies have some sort of privacy policy, but oftentimes they are, and they're taking the view that people don't read these things, they're written for lawyers by lawyers, and they're just these opaque documents. And one of the commission's proposals, as I understood, was to be guidance on a more transparent and clearer approach to privacy policies. Can you talk to a little bit about that, and what do you expect to hear?
Sure. Let me just say, I want to address this concept about how privacy policies have morphed into these extensive legal documents that people don't read. I think everybody agrees that privacy policies, as currently written, are sort of unworkable and really don't do much to achieve the intended purpose. But there is a tension between that and the fact that companies are responding to legal requirements, and the various legal requirements, whether they're guidelines or actual regulations, do set out very specific content that has to be included in these privacy policies. So on the one hand, that businesses don't want to, overload consumers with legal documents, but on the other hand, they want to do what they think is necessary to minimize the risk of an enforcement action or a plaintiff's lawsuit. So with that said, the question was about transparent and clearer privacy policies. Essentially, what they mean here is that the privacy policies should be clearly written and easily accessible, located on the websites in a place that makes sense for consumers. Also, consumers should have access, as I mentioned earlier, to the data that's being kept about them, and they should be able to check it for accuracy and should be able to either correct the data that's in these databases about them or request that it be deleted.
That's a very good point. A lot of these policies aren't just they're not trying to fool consumers. It's just sort of they are responding to actual they're responding to legal requirements.
They're trying to comply with existing law.
Right. You mentioned the COPPA law, the mm-hmm. Children's Online Privacy Act. That's one of probably many examples. Would you expect sort of an unintended consequence of this? More extensive regulatory scheme, a possibly short-term reaction of almost making these kinds of policies worse in many ways. It's simply to address what comes out of the commission.
Well, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I mean, I think the good thing about this report is there's some very valuable information, and despite the chairman's comments that this is not a roadmap to avoid an enforcement action, and in fact it really is. There's a lot of very clear information about what should be included, not so much what should be included in the privacy policies, but where they should be able to be accessed, and that a reminder again that the information that's in those should be very consistent with the business practices, business data collection practices. So I think there won't necessarily be an overreaction that they'll be worse. I think in some ways they may be somewhat of a sigh of relief because they will be, or they should be, sort of revisited and perhaps modified. I mean, that's generally a good practice in any event. Privacy practices should not just be put out there to gather dust. They should be constantly revisited in the context of new technology and different data collection and retention practices.
Let me talk about the third element that I passed over a moment ago on what the commission proposed, which is it's been kind of popularly referred to as do not track or just in time settings for data collection. It's easy to sort of encapsulate with a catchphrase like just in time or data tracking or do not track, but it's actually a much more ambiguous and much more difficult concept to tackle. You want to just say a word or two about that?
Sure. I think it's helpful to think of the do not track element of this report and the reference to just in time notice as two somewhat separate issues. Let me just talk about briefly the just in time notice. That's something that the FTC has been pushing for a while now. That is that consumers would be given appropriate notice and the opportunity to make a choice at the exact time of data collection. It's not clear exactly how this would operate. There's some ability to perhaps automate the way this would the mechanics of this. In certain circumstances, though, if you have offline data collection, you'd have to have a fairly significant amount of employee training to make sure that it's being adhered to properly. But it's a concept
right.
that I don't think is that big a part of the report. I think the really big headline of the report is the do not track concept, and you're right, it's garnered a lot of attention. It would not be similar to the do not call registry in that there would not be a list of people who don't want to be tracked online. Instead, it would be technology-based. That is, as the chairman suggested, probably a cookie would be placed in the browser, a do not track cookie that would list various preferences, you know, what types of advertising and from what companies do or do not want to be received by individuals, and by the same token, they could indicate that they do or do not want to be tracked by various entities. I should say that almost immediately the agency almost seemed to back away from a hard-hitting approach to do not track. They say they support the concept. They don't have a position yet on legislation. And I think there's a real sense here that of the tension between trying to protect consumers from increasingly invasive technologies while at the same time not inadvertently doing anything that really hampers the current nature of the Internet as we know it today.
This has been great, Karen. Thank you so much. I just want to the $64,000 question, if that's meaningful anymore, I guess is what's going to happen next? What do you expect to happen next? Yes, this has been proposed. There's a comment period going on. Industry will weigh in. Congress, I don't know, may weigh in. And the last part of that same question is, everyone always wonders, is the FTC the only game in town on this? Are the states weighing in? Are there other federal agencies you want to pay attention to on these specific subjects or at the state levels? Another number of states, everyone always points out to Massachusetts and some others coming up behind Massachusetts. That's seven questions right there, but
right.
What happens next?
I think first of all, with respect to the comment period, obviously people will weigh in. In some sense, I think this is sort of an updated version of what the FTC has been saying all along, so there are really no surprises here. I think industry will take a careful look at their own practices, or they should take a careful look at their own practices, because they've been given an opportunity to try to get it right from the agency's perspective to avoid regulation. As you know, the FTC doesn't really have a lot of rulemaking authority, and if they were to adopt some of these proposals as rules, they would either need legislation to give certain rulemaking authority, or specific legislation would have to be adopted by Congress. I doubt this is, the top legislative priority, although many members have indicated how important privacy is to them. Markey has indicated he's going to introduce legislation for a do not track component to protect children's privacy.
Right.
And Senators Kerry Rockefeller and some others have indicated they intend to introduce privacy legislation, but Congress already has a lot on its plate, so I don't expect a lot to happen there. I just expect that this is another very strong signal to industry to try to get it right. On the state side, the states will be looking carefully to bring consumer protection actions against various bad actors. And one should not forget the plaintiff's bar. And I think the useful message here in this report is it's also a roadmap to plaintiff's lawyers, and industry should be paying very close attention to the recommendations and seeing if they can tweak their practices to try to minimize the risk of private sector litigation.
Karen, I sort of asked this, but let me ask this more straight. Is the FTC the only game in town, or are there other things on the horizon or currently we should be aware of?
Well, 2 weeks after the FTC released its report, the Department of Commerce issued a report that can sort of be viewed as a companion report, and it addressed many of the same policy issues that the FTC has been looking at. But clearly, the FTC will continue to be the principal cop on the beat for privacy, and the Department of Commerce simply urged, I shouldn't say simply, but sort of the concluding headline in the Department of Commerce report is it really urges all stakeholders to work together to come up with a sufficient privacy protection framework and adopt many of the same or similar policy recommendations that the FTC did in its report.
What's the process and timing of the Commerce
Well, as
report?
I say, that was released 2 weeks after the FTC reported, it's titled the Department of Commerce Green Paper on Privacy. It's a report that members of Congress will look at and use in any subsequent hearings and potentially the crafting of legislation. But my guess is that both reports are going to be used as entities, various stakeholders work together to try to come up with really a suitable privacy regulatory framework that works for everybody.
Very interesting. Karen, thank you for joining us today.
It was my pleasure.
I want to give the world Karen's contact information, which is K Newman. This is Karen's email, K Newman, K-N-E-U-M-A-N at slrno.com. And Karen's telephone is 202-454-9401. I am Andy Mirsky, and I can be reached at andy@mirskylegal. That's mirskylegal.com. Telephone 202-339-0303. We look forward to having our audience and our guest, Karen Newman, join us for upcoming podcasts. And thank you all, and have a happy new year. Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.